Okay, let's go back into Sichas Aran. It's been a while. On page Chav Zayin or Islam and Aleph in Sichas Aran, try to move. It was the end of Chav Zayin, but the Rabbi there was talking about the inyan of a person spending too much time in Yom HaBeis HaKisei. We understood what that was. On the bottom of page Chav Zayin, Islam and Aleph. Royal his diaries, Lispal, Tomit, Babaika, Hashkem, Chomashi Yuchal. Ibn Achman was one of those tzaddikim who insisted that whenever possible, the chassidim should daven in the morning, you should daven vasikim, should daven early in the morning. You wouldn't have seen rest of a chassidim or Ibn Achman walking around, you know, at 10:30 with a towels big anywhere. In Chaim Aran, before we go a little bit further, in Chaim Aran it says that Tzaddik Ibn Achman said, it's brought down Chaim Aran, and the Nosson says that Ibn Achman said that Tzaddikim are shoygim, that they make those Tzaddikim who daven late. He says the words shogim, they're making a mistake. B'mesh ma'achum is manat tefila. Omat said, ha-tzadikim shogim b'zeh b'mesh ma'achum is manat tefila. The Rabbi Nachman said a strong lashon like that, that tzadikim who daven late are shogim, they're making a mistake. The truth is that the tzadikim who daven late were not worth the dirt under their feet. Rabbi Nachman said such a thing, and we're not, God forbid, allowed to judge any of the tzaddikim. Stop, not to judge Eden, but especially not to judge the tzaddikim. But if one wants to know, so what was by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? How was it by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? Was it with all the hachanas at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock davening by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? It's brought down the Tzavos HaVivosh. If you look in Eis Tezayin, it says that the Baal Shem HaKadosh was very, very careful to daven v'sikin every day. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh davened first thing in the morning, and it's brought down from the Baal Shem Tov and the Tzavos HaYifosh, v'achilik ben koidem ha'neitz leven la'ach ha'neitz kerochik mizmech mimarev. That the difference davening by neitz and davening later, afterwards, he says, is kerochik, it's like the distance between mizmech and marev, between east and west. And it's brought down that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was so careful to daven early in the morning that there were times that can you imagine that he didn't have a minion for Vesikin. Didn't have a minion. See that you do need a blackberry because over there you can get all the minyanim. So the Baal Shem HaKadosh Nabuch didn't have the minyanim. So in Nezbez they didn't have a minion for the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And when that would happen, it's brought down that oftentimes the Baal Shem Tov would daven b'yichidus instead of davening later. He wouldn't daven later. That was makpid to daven v'sikin, and he would rather daven b'yichidus by himself at that time at v'sikin than to daven the minyan later on. I'm not saying that the Torah is hayroah to any of us, regular people, that daven, of course, but tzibur, and not even to say that a person who can't, then it's hard for him to daven v'sikin. That's not the point. The point is that we see that the Baal Shem HaKadosh and his mishpacha and Rabbi Nachman, that they were very, very makbid and vesikin to daven early. And that's what it says over here. Roy les dires lespal tamid v'vayga hashkem b'chol ma sheyuchal, as early as possible. Obviously, from this man. Ki lefi gadol milas atfila. Rabbi Nachman says, if a person understands gadol milas atfila, how great and how exalted davening is, if he godel myla satvila, she yikara malosim ha'oid ma'oid. She yikara malosim ha'oid ma'oid. That its myla, its greatness is very, very high. It's very great. She yikara malosim ha'oid ma'oid. Mi yodeya im yiska hakech lispala. So Rinach said, how do you know that you're going to have a chance afterwards to daven? How do you know that you're going to bechlal be? He says, if you're up in the morning, the first thing you should do is daven. That's the first thing you should do is daven. He says, if you go to my loss, like you see that they say about Rabbi Strelitzka, that the tzaddikim said that he used to say goodbye to his wife and children when he would go to shul in the morning. But not to stop say goodbye. he would say he wasn't sure if he would see them again, that because of the fire of Rabbi Yisrael's because davening. But Rabbi Nachman is saying that the mile of davening, if you go miles at tefillah, that you don't know, a person doesn't know what he's going to have in his life, and tefillah's davening is so precious that you should chap it right away. You don't know if you're going to have the schus, what's going to be in life, if you're going to have the schus to daven afterwards. Therefore, that it's proper that a person should try to daven early. You see, when they have some kind of a special thing or a sale or some kind of a new item that goes on, a new computer or something, or they have a Harry Potter number 50, I don't know what they're up to, that the people are, it's reasonable magdima, that they go there to be online early, they want to make sure to have. So this the Svarma HaKadosh Mitzvah can say that if a person will understand what davening is, that before the world gets all busy, when it's still early in the morning, in that part of the world that you're in, it's still early in the morning, it means that overnight, the world was cleared up from all kinds of diburim, all kinds of narishkeit, all kinds of bad things. And at that time, early in the morning, there's a certain kind of a pureness that's there, and the atmosphere is not as crowded with all kinds of klipas. And you see, if a person wants to be the first one online for the tickets for the game, or for the Harry Potter, or for whatever it is that the person's online, because he doesn't want to take any chances. So then, the mile of davening b'hashkama, the mile of davening early, is ain't a diamond. The mile of davening early, if a person would appreciate what davening is, and to realize that by 9 o'clock, that is 9 o'clock, I know people, but by 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, there's already been a lot of noise and tumult and all kinds of things, and it's already very, very crowded, and the person has to then to get that the tefillah should go through. Mashanikain, when it's early in the morning, it's much easier that the tefillah should go through. Lamed Beis. Rabbi Nachman here, again, it's not written in a certain Seder, but we return to the subject of simple emuna, of emuna pshuta, which of course is the cornerstone of all of Rabbi Nachman's teachings. Tefillah and emuna pshuta. Tzarek lechazek es atzmei b'emuna. Each person must be mechazek himself b'emuna. V'levli lichnois b'chakiris klal. And not to get into any chakiris at all. Not to get into any philosophical chakiris. All kinds of questions and inquiries to get into b'chlal not. V'levli la'ayin klal b'svar mishal mechakrim. And not to look at all in any of the svarim of the mechakrim. He's not talking here about goyish books. He's talking about even the svarim that were written by tzaddikim. But they were written by Taras Chakira. They were written in a way of Chakira, meaning in the way of philosophical investigation, a shakl v'taya, proofs of God's existence, all of these things that were a very, very big part of the Svarim of the Kadmainim of Rabbi Chasdai Kreskes and Or Hashem and the Svarim of the Ralbag and the Rambam and Marin Nevuchim and even Rabbeinu Bechai in the Chavis Lavavs and Shai Yichud and even a little bit in the Sefer Yikarim, a little bit in Kuzri a little bit, so not like in Marin Ruchim, but in the Kadmonim we find a tzaddik going that those tzaddikim were living in a different kufa. They were living before the hisgalus of the Zohar Kodesh. And once the Zohar Kodesh was misgala, once the Zohar Kodesh was revealed, then those nisyanis that were at the time of the Kadmainu, the time of the Rishonim, Nisyonis in a philosophical understanding of Yiddishkeit because of the contending with the general atmosphere that was saturated with philosophical chakiris and so on. And many, many Jews were being lost to those chakiris. So the tzaddikim like Rabbi Sadia Gaon and the Rambam and the other tzaddikim, that they came to the rescue. They came to the rescue to rescue those generations from the tarfas of the chakiris that everybody was being schlepped into. But once the Zohar Kaddish was mezgala, then to a large extent these chakiris became not only extraneous but became extremely dangerous. Even chakiris that Rabbi the tzaddikim that Rabbi Nachman warned very, very much not to be Isaac in these things at all. Ulevlila ayin klal besvarim shel mechakim, rak lahamin ba Hashem esbarach b'amuna levad. Not to look into any of the mechakim, even those books that are written by people of Shomer Mitzvos. You have nowadays also there some very, very fine professors of Shomer Torah Mitzvos that teach in different universities, and they write more scientific studies of different subjects in Torah. This Bechlal is not the Mahalach in Breslov by Rabbi Nachman, even though Rabbi Nachman himself is a Baki in all the Chachmas. Because he was such a Baki in all the Chachmas, he was very strong against anybody going into these Chachmas. But the Ikkar is Rak Lahamin Ba Hashem Yisbarach V'Emuna Levad, B'li Shum Chakiris Klal. Emuna Levad, without Chakiris. V'af Al Pishin In Melon Shah Ha'amayin Am, Hem Rechoikim Chakiris. So Nachman says, even though you would think that the Hamayin Am, meaning that simple Yidden, the Hamayin Am, regular Jews, so you think, like, why do we have to even tell them this? They don't read these books. What are they? You see, the Moshe, the water carrier, is going to have a chavus and mayin avuchim or something. And they're learning philosophy, and the Hamayin Am of, in those days especially, these were not people who were learned. Who were familiar with these kind of svarim. So Rabbi Nachman says, so af al pisha nidmeh lanu shehamayin am hem rechoikim mechakiris, even though it seems to us that the hamayin am, that the regular yidden are far from chakiris, ve'enu mechakim klal, and they don't get into chakiris at all, af al pisha be'emes kulam hem mo'eravim mechakiris. Rabbi Nachman says, not true. Even the simplest Jews are an am chochem benavayin. Yidden like to figure everything out. And they're always thinking, always thinking. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman says that even though it seems that the Hamayin Am are not Isaac and Chakiris at all, Afa Pichen Be'emes Kulam Heim Arav Mechakiris. Ki Kol Echad Ve'echad Yesh Lech Chakiris. Each and every person has Chakiris. This is what I was really talking about by the Hilula, about the Sveikas, and that whole world of the Ilona of the Sveika that I was talking about by Lag Ba'omer at night. That every person is mixed. Is mixed into his emuna all kinds of chakiris. Kol achavecha yesh lo chakiris. Va'afilu ktanim. Va'afilu ktanim, he says, boim al machshavdim chakiris bilbulim. He says, you see that even the smallest, simplest little person, they get involved in all kinds of chakiris, all kinds of bilbulim. Like I've told you many times a story from the Rebbe, the Rebbe Simcha ben Pshischa, that he said, before he was nifter, it's a half of the gemaisa. I've said it over Barabbin a few times. But how there was, the Rebbe Abunim was also a big buck in all the chachmas. And he used to argue with maskilim, he was, these things. He was very, very sharp. But before he was nifty, he said that, I'm just going to remind you, because I know you know the mice, I'll tell quickly, that there was a very wealthy Jew in Poland, Rebbe Bunim said, that he got into his head in Shagaz to buy the most expensive horse. Right? You know this mice? To buy a beautiful, everybody knows, I'm not going to say it again, but to buy, you don't know this? Mm-hmm. To buy a beautiful, beautiful horse. So, and he did, he bought it, and then he the most beautiful horse, and he also wanted to, he has such a horse, he wants to have the most secure and beautiful stable that you have, a place for such a horse. and he bought that. And then you have to have the best lock to protect this horse. And then on top of that, the Gvir hired a shomer. He hired a guy to watch the horse, to be the Yonim V'Laila, to watch the horse, to take care. So then it was the first night, and the Gvir is trying to go to sleep, but he can't fall asleep. He's nervous about the horse. So he's worried at the shomer. It's late at night. How could this guy turn 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock? The guy's going to be up. So the Gvir went out, and he saw that the shomer was wide awake. The guy that's watching the horse was wide awake. So the Gvir was very happy, and he asked him, "How do you stay awake like that? It's very, very good that you. How are you able to stay awake? It's so late at night." He said, "I'll tell you the truth. There's something that I'm thinking about. And I can't take my head off of this inyan." "What's that?" He said that when the carpenter knocks a nail into the wall, what happens to the wall? Where does that go, that part of the wall? I never saw it anywhere. So the Gvir says to him, that's a chashuva thing. You have to think about that. Think about it. Anyway, he goes back to the bed. He's an hour or two. He's trying to sleep, but he's still nervous. About it. 2-3 in the morning, the guy can't possibly be awake. What's going to happen to his horse? So then he goes back out, and he sees the guy's awake. Wow. And he asks the guy, tell me, how do you stay awake? It's 3 in the morning. He says, also a chakir, it's bothering me. I'm thinking, what? He says, when the guy makes bagels, whatever happened to that part? I never saw anybody. Where is that? That part from the bagel, I never saw it anywhere. The inside. So the Gvir says, that's a good question. You have to think about that. It's a chakir. Think about it. Goes back in. It's almost the morning. The Gvir can't believe that he's so nervous about the horse now. The sun's coming up, whether that shomer is actually doing his job. So he goes outside the Gvir, and he sees the shomer is walking back and forth. He's wide awake. And the Gvir asks him, how do you stay awake like that? It's already almost the morning. How do you stay awake like that the whole night? So he says, I'm thinking. He says, what are you thinking about? What's the chakir? He says, I'm thinking about, it's such an interesting thing. This is the Gvir buys the most expensive horse in the whole Poland. And he builds the most expensive stable. And he puts on the most expensive lock. And then he hires a guy just to watch the horse with all of that. What's Gvir with the Fed? What happened to the horse? I don't understand it. How could the horse have gotten away? I don't understand it. So that that story I've used often when I've gone to different places to begin to try to talk to Yidden about Emunah Pshuta. The Rebbe Abunim himself was a Chaker L'Kimamish. He was a Baki in all Chakiris. And everybody knows that he was famous for his sharpness. But before he was Nifter, he was crying. He says, "Mit all Chakiris, with all the big Chakiris, what's his Gevein with the third? What happened to that which we were guarding? What happened to it? I think about this all the time. So they have these beautiful yeshivas and all these fancy things and state of the art this, and you could have a computer blackboard. I never saw them, but I heard a lot about it. That there's a computer and it goes on the blackboard. The computer, you could have all these different things, a million things, and they have meetings day and night, educators about how to educate and the curriculum. We can do this and do that, and they have printing all kinds of materials. And there's only one thing. With all the chakiris, what happened to Emuna? What happened to the Baruch Shalom? Somehow he slipped out in the middle of the night. With all the chakiris, with all of our fancy chakiris, what happened to that which we're all guarding? That which we're living for. What happened to that? Where did it go? The Pnimius, where did it go? So that you see that it sounds like, we don't know the story exactly what it means, but it sounds like everyone at the end of his life is saying that the Chakiris. The Tachlis HaKol, like the Baal Shem HaKadosh said before he was Nifta, the whole thing is, all of his Madregas are only because of Amunah. All of the Madregas are because of Amunah. The Baal Shem HaKadosh never had a PhD in Judaic studies, you understand? All the Madregas he reached was Amunah. There's a ma'aser they say from Reb Shimon Sofer. Reb Shimon Sofer went into his father, went into Chassam Sofer. He was very, very worked up. He was very worked up. And the Chassam Sofer asked him, what happened, Shimon, what happened? So he said that Shimon Sofer said that he was talking in learning, he was talking with certain apikaris. In those days, the apikarsim, you know, they were chashuv apikarsim. They were people that knew how to learn, and they were chashuv people. So Shimon Sofer said he was talking to the apikaris and learning. And he said that the apikaris is the kasha in Amuna. Something, a question about something in belief, and that it's causing tremendous bilbulim, and therefore he said to the Chassam Sofer, I'm coming to you that you should help me with this, this kasha is making me crazy, this question. Almost every yid nowadays has a kasha that it's in the head like that, the little thing. It's not there all the time, but it's like. He tries to push it away, and then it comes back. It's a little kasha. So Shimon Sofer, he asked the Chassam Sofer that he answer the question. He says in the Svarim that the Chassam Sofer listened to this, and he didn't say a word. He didn't make any gesture. He just was silent. He was completely silent. And Shimon didn't understand why the Chassam Sofer didn't say anything. And on the third day, called for him, that he wanted to talk to him, that he should come to the room. And the Chassam Sofer answered the kasha. He answered the kasha in the most unbelievable way, that the whole thing was such, it was so clear that it was obvious to Reb Shimon that Bechlal wasn't the kasha. The whole thing wasn't the kasha at all. So Reb Shimon didn't understand. He said to his father, he said to the Chassam Sofer, he said, I have no doubt at all that you knew this teretz, that you knew this answer to the kasha 3 days ago, or whatever, 2 days ago, that you knew the teretz of this kasha. So why didn't you tell me? Like, why didn't you answer the kasha when I came to you? You didn't even say a word. And I just walked out. You didn't say anything to me. Why didn't you tell me the teretz when I came to ask you? So Chassam Sofer said to him, I wanted to teach you a very big ikur. I don't know how old Reb Shimon was at that time, it doesn't say. But he said, I wanted to teach you a very, very big thing in Yiddishkeit. That if someone asks you a kasha in Amunah, or you yourself have a question from something that you read, or something that you heard, or somebody that was talking to you, that you shouldn't be mistopic at all, you shouldn't have any sfeikas at all, and you should say to yourself a simple thing. You should say, it says in the Svarim, that the Chassam Sofer says you should say, Hadover hu emes kasha kibalti. That this inyan is emes, is true. Kasha kibalti, as I received from my parents and my grandparents. It's absolutely true. Uvavada yesh lekushya, uvavada lechol kushya yesh teretz. And for sure, for every kasha there's a teretz, there's an answer. I might not know it now. I might only find out in 3 days. I might find out in 30 years. I might find out in 300 years after I'm dead. But the ikur is, the Chassam Sofer said, I waited these 3 days in order that you should know that it's not kedai ever, ever to get confused, to allow yourself to be overwhelmed or confused with chakiras. And that you have to know that if you don't know the explanation now, that one day you will. That one day you will. In this life, in another life, after this life, that one day you will. And it's all havel havalim. That's the ikur emunah. And that's why I didn't answer you right away. A person has to learn how to live with a kasha and to be able to be bigger than the kasha, not to be taken away by a kasha. And then to see that if you just leave the kasha and you don't bother with it, then later on, at some point, there'll be a teretz. You don't bother with it. You leave it alone completely. So this was the tzaddikim, who were the big Bali Amuna, who gave it over to Klai Yisrael, like Rav Nachman, Chassam Sofer, the tzaddikim like that. Chassam Sofer was fighting with this at his time, with the maskilim very, very much in Europe. And that's what Rav Nachman says. Even even small people have all kinds of chakiris and bilbulim, things in their head that they have. And they're afraid of these kashas that have these big kashas. That's somebody just the other day called me up on the phone, was asking me in all kinds of a whole fancy way. But the question was, like, why did God create the world? I was asking this, why did God create the world? This person is living in yeshiva his whole life. And he asked him, well, I don't understand. He didn't say in those words. He said it like 15, 20 minutes, but like this. But it was all like, I don't understand why. Like, really came out like, why did God create the world? So he's walking around with this kasha in his head. Something's bothering him. You have people walking with the kashas. The big kasha about what Rosh HaVetayv Le Tzadav Geraloi. Person. You have some of them, maybe you've had, everybody maybe has had this experience, someone will come over and ask you, but how could it be like with the people that they went through, people, nice people that they sent. And when they're saying it, they have a feeling that like they uncovered some dark, mysterious thing that thousands of years nobody ever thought of this, and that they have this, they came to this very deep inyan that they worked out in their heads, that there's a kash on the Bar Olam. That there's a big question on the Marishalom. And this causes all kinds of bilbulim, all kinds of confusion. A person has bechir chavshis over his thoughts. It's not like people think that I can't help but think. People say I can't help but think about this. That's not true. Person has to be very careful, to distance all of these hakiris from his heart, to throw them out completely. The bliliya is chasa shalom shum chakran klal, not to be bechlal a chakran. That's what I was talking about by Shal Shudas, the guy that's made the lumdus, he's figuring out the cheshbon. He's sitting by Bishul Siddichavis as a gemachi, and he's making a cheshbon. All the other Yidden are having his iris, and he's sitting there trying to figure out in his head whether or not the gemachi stims. You know, that's a person, the people that live their whole lives like that, with chakiris and cheshbainas. They never live. They're never alive, because they're all the time busy with the cheshbainas. Like they say, you know, there's a famous thing that they have from the Vilna Gaon, by the Shabbos table, everything is seven, right? That's very, very famous. I'm sure you know that. Everything is seven by the Shabbos table. So right from the Gaon. So that, you know, that the gematria of challah is how much is that? So that's 43. So 4 + 3 is 7. Dog, fish is 4 + 3 is 7. Nair, candles is 250. 2 + 5 + 0. Is 7, and chamin even baser is also 502. 5 + 0 + 2 is 7. Yain is 70. 7 + 0 is 7. So everything is. So there was a lamdan. They say a joke. There was a lamdan. He was standing there. And the chassidim was saying over this merdi gevart from the going that he says such a thing. And everybody's in the spall. All the chassidim were getting so excited about this. They wanted to make a rikud. They heard such a fart from the guy. And there's one lamdan over there. There's always that one guy. There's one lamdan said that, he said, what about Kugel? What about Kugel? He has the kasha. What about Kugel? So because it came out only, it didn't come out to be Shabbos. It's only, so the chassidim said, Daf essen noch ein Stückel Kugel. If you eat two pieces of Kugel, it stims exactly. You have to have two pieces of Kugel. He says, oh, who eats one piece of Kugel? Nobody eats one. Who eats? Those people that are busy, they only have one kugel, because by the time they're finished with their gematrias and their numbers and their chakiris, the kugel's already taken from the table. And then they spend the rest of their lives feeling bad that they never had the second piece of kugel. That's how it is in life. And it's only al derech mashal. That's how it is with the chaykrim. That the chaykrim, these balei chakiris, they don't have any simchas achai. All these chakiris, without the chakiris. You see always with them, these... all the professors with their papers, the big Marish Charedic people, the most Marish Charedic people, was not happy people. And if you know one that is, so that's a Yikar Metzias, then it must be he's a big mom. And I'm not talking about somebody, I'm saying that those who make Hakirus in a moon, in Yiddish, I'm not talking about somebody that's a professor of economics or of math. That's not. I'm talking about somebody who's making Hakirus in Yiddish, these professors, they're Marish Charedic. always have, always look upset about something. With Amunah, there's Simchas Chaim, that's the Eitz Chaim. And that would sound ridiculous if what Rabbi Nachman is saying, and Lahavdil, what I'm saying now, would sound the most ridiculous. Would sound ridiculously simplistic to any of these people. They would make fun and laugh, and they wouldn't be able to believe that any person in the year 2010 could say such ridiculous things. And they might even write a whole PhD dissertation on how silly that is. But that's the Metzius. That's the Metzius. You see this. You can see this b'chush, that's how life is. He cries, Achim l'kabel teresenu HaKadosh. Look how simple Rabbi Nachum says. Now you know that Rabbi Nachum knew kol ha-Torah kul, he knew all the Hakirs. And he said, Ki kvaz achin lo kabel teresenu HaKadosh. Hayde Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. What do we need Hakirs for? We Baruch Hashem, we received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. The rest of the world, they have Hakirs, because they don't know what to do. They have to figure stuff out. That's what I was talking about Balag Bayim. But we got the Baruch Hashem gave us, Kinei Mitzvah V'Torah. Mitzvah Hashem Torah, Mi Yosenai. He gave us that light of Torah. So that's what the Rebbe says. Ki kvaz achin lo kabel teresenu HaKadosh. Hayde Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a mechaya. What do you have to worry about? We already got the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. So then comes the Sitrach and says, yeah, but how do I know Moshe Rabbeinu got that? Maybe he didn't get it. Maybe he never got it. Maybe they came down from outer space, somebody, and they came up with this thing that they have a more advanced civilization, and they came to Earth, and they called it Torah from Moshe, whatever, Hakiris. Because Achim Lekabel Torah Seinu HaKadosh, Ayde Moshe Rabbeinu Rosh Hashanah, and we had in each generation many, many great and tzaddikim gedolim v'nayroim b'chaldor v'ador. Roy lana lismach aleihem bli shum chakiris. We could be soimach on them without any chakiris at all. We rely on these tzaddikim from all the generations. V'leilech b'gvaisam, and we follow in their footsteps. Lahamin b'Hashem esbach b'pshitis, to believe in Hashem b'pshitis. In an absolutely simple way, lekayim teirosay mitzvaysav, to mekayim teira and mitzvahs, kasher mosu lano avasein akadoshim, as we received from avasein akadoshim. Uchashadam haylech betmimus b'mun levad, and a person lives this way, and he goes betmimus, he goes in this pure and simple way, b'mun levad, just with the b'mun blishum chakiris. Jemachim says that if a person goes long enough, simple, in this way, so then he can be zoiche to come to that level that's called Ratzon, which is higher than Chachma. You know that the way Hashem made the world and everything is, that there's Chachma, Bina, Das, and so on, in the lower spheres. Higher than all of that is Keser, the crown. The crown is Ratzon. The crown is Ratzon. So that bechinah of Ratzon is lamala michachma. What does that mean? So many people are wondering, they feel bad. I had a very wonderful person was asking me yesterday morning. So he was there at the Hilul, and he was saying that he wants very much to have that kesher to the nishmas of the Raisa. But how does one get a feeling for that? In other words, how do I have a Ratzon? From where do I take my Ratzon from? Everything's about wanting, but I don't feel that I have a Ratzon. So what Rabbi Nachman is saying over here is that a person has to go betmimus, be'amunah, in pashtus. It could be for a long time, like the whole ma'aseh with the Avedas Basan, with the lost princess, to go like that in pshitas. And then over time it could be zoicha, Sheyazal Hashem, that Hashem helps. Sheyovel b'chinas Ratzon, shulamala michachma, that's higher than chachma. Ki be'emes chachma de kedusha, hilamala mi'amuna. The truth is, chachma of kedusha doesn't mean cleverness and sharpness. That's the chachma of the sitracha. Chachma of kedusha is really on a madrega that's higher than amuna. It's really higher than amuna. In other words, that a person understands and knows more and more and more. And afal pichin, the more that he knows, the more bottle he is to Hashem, right? That's what chacham is, koach ma. The more he's bottled to Hashem is baruch, that's even higher than amun. A Still, the path towards reaching that higher madrega of Chachma is to go sometimes for years and years. B'tmimis, emunah pshuta. Rak b'emunah levad, ki emunah hu dover chazak ma'od. Because emunah is something which is chazak ma'od. It's very, very strong. Vazak yishahilach b'emunah levad. And then if a person lives this way, and he goes b'emunah levad, just with emunah. V'li chakiris v'chachmas. No chakiris, no chachmas. As I zayich elov l'b'chinas rotsin. Then he's able to come to a bechina, to that bechina that's higher than chachma. It's called rotzen. Rotzen is that he's filled mamish with a fire of longing for Hashem Yisbarach, a fire of wanting, a fire, a rotzen, unbelievable rotzen. Which is the main thing that's missing from the lives of people who are balei chakiris. They don't have a rotzen. As he is zeichel lover to begin his rotsen, shul amala afidim yichachma, the heinu she yizke she yilei rotsen muflag chazak ma'ayit elav yisbar, that a person through this could be zeichel to come to a very, very high madrega of rotsen, of tremendous longing for Hashem Yisbarach. Actually, yeda malas is klal migadol hishtoikikus. He won't know what to do with himself, because the hishtoikikus is so powerful, the longing is so great, he won't even know what to do. The yitzak, and to cry out and to scream out to Hashem is baruch. Ach yesh chakron. However, there's this little philosopher, this little apikurish, shubasach leiv b'nei odom, that's in the heart of a person. There's a little chakron, there's a little skeptic, there's a little philosopher in the person's heart. Yesh chakron shubasach leiv b'nei odom. Da'inu ha-baldover. That chakron is himself the baldover, the yetzahar. The Sultan, the Malchamovis, the Sitra'achra, that place of sveikas and doubts, that a Yid should not be able to have a simcha through emunah pshuta. Da'ino ha-baldover, shul machnis chakiris b'lei v'odim, that even by the simplest people, the baldover puts in all kinds of chakiris, all kinds of questions, all kinds of doubts. U'tzvichin la'achniyoi u'lagarsha. And a person has to be machni, he has to crush that chakran, that little philosopher inside. Ulagarsho, to throw him out. Lagarish m'liba kola chakiris, to take charge of his heart, and to throw out, and to drive out from his heart all of these chakiris. Ulachazik is atzmei b'amunik in this klal, to strengthen himself with amunah, as we learn. But that you should know. Kiyesh averish, shehem achnisim kiris b'odim. There are certain averis that in particular, more than others, cause a person to have all kinds of questions that strengthen that little philosopher. These averis, God forbid, when a person does these averis, it gives energy, it gives a lot of energy over to that little philosopher, that little apikaris inside. V'yesha boi malei machshavas al ha'emuna, machim shalei noldu b'kedusha karoid. And there are others who their sveikas in Amunah, their difficulties, their struggles are going to come to them because of what we're learning in Tanya. That they were not conceived in a holy way, that their parents are not in the Madrega, where there was thoughts of Kedusha and so on, and therefore, as the Tanya explains, they received a Shvach Levush, a difficult Levush, in this world, and they're more likely, these people are more prone, more inclined to having, even out of nowhere, not because they're studying these things, just out of nowhere, to have all kinds of questions, all kinds of chakirs that come from the fact that the whole creation came by way of something that's impure, and that which is impure comes from the side of Tov and Ra. It could be chalili from the side that's Ra, but from Abayid we know that. So from that side that's Tov and Ra, and what Tov and Ra means, the person has sveikas. There's no sveikas. Then there are those that, besides what their parents started them off in the wrong way, they add, these people, they add also by doing averus. There are certain averus that, more than others, that those averus are poigim demunah. They damage a person's amunah. But if you look in the Sefer Midas of Rebbe Nachman, by Amunah, you'll see. It was that Sichan Bush of a Leiv Nishba. So how does one get over that? How do you break through that klipa? A person looks at himself and he knows that he has all kinds of thoughts. And Rebbe Nachman is saying that you have to push that away and throw that out of your head. So everybody's thinking, Shkoyach, how do I do that? Was that Sichan Bush of a Leiv Nishba? Kaidim, a person who feels Busha, who feels embarrassed, not that other people saw him doing an aveir. He feels embarrassed before Kadosh Baruch Hu for his aveirs. Busha v'leiv nishba. And his heart's broken. Shemishi eshel chakirus amach shavas elachas sham roilo lizbayish ma'id. The person who has these chakirus, tak has what to be embarrassed about. You know, it's here we got the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have all the tzaddikim through all the generations gave us the Torah. And you're going around with all kinds of chakiras. Roy lo lizbayish ma'id al hashem. Roy lo also to be for these chakiras. Samach shabbos el chasam. Roy lo lizbayish ma'id al hashem. Roy lo begashim iskazeh. Also, it's embarrassing that he was born into the world. He came to the world such a magushim dika person. Not that it's his fault, but it's embarrassing. So also ma'isim. Or as a result of the things that he's done wrong in his life, that he's created within himself all of these sveikas. Because the sveikas don't have any existence. They don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. Sveikas don't mean anything. These questions, all these arguments, they don't mean anything. But they're only like the bugs that come into a person's brain when there are problems. Not that they etzim mean anything. They don't mean anything. There's no kashas at all. We have Moshe Emes v'Sir also Emes. But a person, for these different reasons, from before he was born, and once he's in the world, that his mind becomes more and more preoccupied with these kinds of thoughts. The glory of Hashem fills the entire world. Here, the Rosh fills the whole universe. Lays also upon me. There isn't anything without God. And you have these thoughts that these thoughts are pulling you away completely from Elokim Chayim, from the living God. Ashur Chay, Chayim, is Baruch, is Ha'alash, is the life of all life. Hashem is Baruch, it's the life of all life. Ve'im Tzarech Levar Gadol HaBusha, Shiroi Shiyiloi, K'shavoyim Lo Machshav, is Ke'elich Hashem. And he says, it's not, I don't have to even explain the busha that a person should have. How embarrassing it is to have thoughts like this. And a person, but that itself, that feeling of busha is itself, what Rabbi Nachman says, the beginning of the cure. To allow yourself to feel that embarrassment and to feel that shame of being lost in those chakiris. And dafke through the busha and through the broken heart, a person is able to drive out, to break, and to destroy all of these chakiris and all these machshavas. That's how a person. That's the eitzah. That's the ikur is busha, and to be mezvada one's aveiros, takadosh baruch hu. When a person feels that. When he feels that, then he's able to be megarish the chakiris from within inside of him. And unless a person tries, he doesn't know that that's true, but that's how it works. That's what Rebbe Nachman says is the eitz. Of course, with tefillah and everything else. That's the strongest way to break through this klipa. And then, over time, of living with tmimus and munapshuta, then the person sees that his rotzen for kedusha begins to get stronger and stronger and stronger. When these things are no longer blocking, that natural flow that comes from the highest place of Keser all the way into Chochma and the Bina and Das and so on, all the way down to Chesed Gvud Fes, till Malchus of Malchus, that the person is able then to have very, very strong, it signs some tremendous ishtaikikus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next week, Mitzvah, we'll finish this entire.